It's less dangerous. Here we are now. Entertain us. I feel stupid and contagious. Here we are now. Entertain us. Yes. It's less dangerous. Here we are now. Entertain us. I feel stupid and contagious. Here we are now. Entertain us, yes. A mulatto, an albino, a mosquito, my libido.
My last experience with ayahuasca was pretty fucking horrific. So.
Oh, I heard about that. That's it.
But yeah, no, I mean, I've gotten a lot out of, you know, those experiences. You know, I don't know if I should do it again. You know, it's like I was going to, and then I canceled it and was like, oh, I'll postpone that. But I'm not apt to go try and, you know, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I had stomach ulcers when I was young, like a lot of them, and apparently that can create intestinal scarring. And so I had scarring from when I was a child that made my intestines go in a knot. So
that's not at all common with ayahuasca. Have you ever heard that happening before?
That's extremely uncommon. Yeah, it was just, I mean, that's what happened to me. So, I mean, I purged for 20 hours straight. So it was like every 4 minutes I was purging thereabouts. And then I went to the hospital for 4 days, and it was like 2 weeks before I could eat solid food again or something like that. And so
what was your mental state at that time? Like, what?
I endured it, you know. I mean, I couldn't hold back the moans because I truly, truly felt like I'd been shot in the stomach. It was the most excruciating pain I've ever felt in my life. And it was consistent through the whole thing. So, until I got an opiate at the hospital, then it started to ease. But, I maintained, I moaned a lot, but that, you know, I couldn't hold that back. I mean, I hyperventilated in the hospital, and I turned completely numb from head to toe, and I ended up on the floor, and my fingers bent back in a way that I'd never seen them do. I didn't know they could do that. And like, yeah, it was just like they kept on running tests, and I just reached my breaking point. It was super intense.
But did the pain itself cut through the trip, or were you still fully tripping?
Oh no, I was fully tripping in the midst of it. Yeah.
So and then how did you think about the pain? Like, did the pain represent something else, or was it just the pain itself?
It was there was a futility in what was happening, and I didn't know if it would stop. I thought it would. I thought that it was, and so I was just kind of like, this too shall pass kind of thing. And it kept on, and then it was like, really, it's not passing? Really, it's not passing? Oh, wow, it's really not passing. And so, I mean, I was offered to be taken to the hospital that night, and I said no, because I was just like, I don't want to be on ayahuasca in a hospital.
Right.
I don't want to go for a car ride right now. You know, like, that's not what I'm needing. And so, you know.
Huh, amazing. Yeah, hearing about Mark's experience too, it's interesting just at those points where there's no other option, right? Like every sort of thing that you could do is sort of cut off from you. I've had that before too, like eating acid and hash at the same time.
Oh yeah, that's not a good idea generally. I know about that one. I've done that one. It can be really intense because I mean, usually like acid is less overwhelming for me than even weed. So a lot of the time, because I mean, I can talk and talk and talk, and
me too,
you
yeah.
know, and it's
yeah.
like I smoke weed and I guess dirt, you know.
Yeah. I was at a party and this guy, we couldn't get to sleep. Everybody else was passed out drunk. And this guy said, I know it will put us to sleep. And he pulls out this huge chunk of hash. And then two of my friends went to sleep and I went to hell. Like it,
right.
Yeah.
I've,
heaven and hell, right? Like it was both.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, hey. Oh, what's that?
I was going to ask you a quick question if you've seen Dance of Reality yet.
Oh, man, I've been really wanting to. I can't find it on the internet, I missed it when it was in the theater. I didn't know it was in the theater until after it was out, and I was like, damn, I just missed it. So,
right. Yeah,
it showed very briefly here.
Yeah,
did you saw it?
Yeah. I think Tokyo was one of the first places that he played it. Like, he made the trip over here where I got to see him. And then, so I think it was lined up to play here. It was one of the first places to play, but yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's not as, I don't know. It's not as over the top weird as, Holy Mountain or El Topo. Mm-hmm. It's more kind of Santa Sangre. Like it kind of has a plot that you can follow in a certain way, but in a way it's so intense, like it's so personal, right? It hit me harder, I think, than any other of his movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Good to hear. Awesome.
Like he said, the movie itself is it's a work of psychomagic, right? Like it's a work of family therapy, and psychomagic is portrayed all the way through the movie as well. So there's multiple levels, but he said, I think the movie itself is psychomagic for this time specifically. And if you see the movie, I think you might know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to give much away. Except that, well, I can say this much is that, where he was living, the small town in Chile, his father and mother owned this place called the Cafe Ukraina because they're Ukrainian, right? So it's, the Ukraine is there, right? Like everything that's happening right now is in this movie.
Wow, that's heavy.
Yeah.
I put a Santa Sangre synchronicity up recently. I still have my Holy Mountain Hollywood up one up too, but the Hollywood Holy Mountain thing was really weird, and the thing that gets me is when something happens and I feel it's remarkable, and then I find out things after the fact that I had no idea about. Because I didn't know that he officiated Marilyn Manson's wedding.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
And that he was like, this album is his most important thing in his life, like, to make that statement. He was like, this is your magnum opus. And it's like, why would he, like, I mean, it's why is he saying, like, I don't know, it's interesting.
So you think that sync is pretty intentional on Manson's part?
It sure seems to be the case, and the fact of what you can do with Santa Sangre is pretty weird. So
Santa Sangre with what?
The Doors' Strange Days, and you'd have to see it to decide for yourself what you're looking at. But there's a lot going on there. I don't know. I'm not. There's only a few that I like. I'm like, if this isn't fucking intentional, then I'm Miles Davis, because this shit is ridiculous, especially when there's a certain amount of backstory that just adds up and adds up and adds up, and you're just like, oh, okay.
You saw Jodorowsky's interview with Pinchbeck, right?
I did, and I had a really negative interaction with Daniel Pinchbeck at one point at Burning Man,
Oh, really?
And so it always affects my perception of him. And I felt like while watching that interview, I was like, he's just getting his ass schooled by Jodorowsky. And the fact that he leaves the book there at the end, like he's on his way out and he's like, oh, yeah, you forgot your book. I felt like that kind of set it all in a way of like his level of like, you know, and where his, so I don't know. I saw him be really, he was tested by the audience that he was speaking at Burning Man, and he took it as the people were just being dicks, when really I felt like they were like, are you, like, where's your ego, bro? Like, where, like, how are you going to respond to this? And it wasn't an intimidation. It was just like somebody asking an odd question and in a very particular way. And he just was like, fuck you. And like, I'm like, you know, there's a million ways you could have just responded to that guy. And like, I could see the guy, like, I'm like, he's not just fucking with him to be a dick. He's like, I could see him feeling him out. He's like, where are you at, man? Like, you know. And it was like, it was really clear where he was at, because he made it really clear. And Alan had a really weird interaction with him too, where he's just like, they're having a conversation and he'd just be like, so I did ayahuasca with Sting the other day. And it was like, okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'd love to do ayahuasca with Sting. Good for you. But it was like, it didn't relate to anything else that was being said. And it was like, and he was just kind of like looking the other way when Alan was talking and not really like being like, I'm having a conversation, you know? Like, he was like, I only care so much about this.
Cause... Well, I think Jodorowsky was right on. He just said to Pinchbeck, I think it'll be 20 years before you're able to open your heart, right? He said that straight out. It's like, so Pinchbeck's whole thing is breaking open the head. Yeah, that's his book, and he hasn't broken open his heart. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's I don't have anything against the guy. Essentially, it was just like these kind of interactions were just like, oh, okay. You know, he's like, when's the last time you told your girlfriend that you love her? You know, like he's like real simple things.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, you should tell her that all the time, you know, it's like, you know, and he's like, I think it's good to want to live long, you know, he's like, I want to live long, you know, he's like,
120.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not there, but fucking good for you, man. Like, that's awesome. Yeah. You know, it's just like, I wish I had that level of, you know, that's just, wow. So yeah, I found it really inspiring and and humbling.
So amazing to see him in Tokyo. Like, we waited out. He spoke at this theater, which we couldn't get tickets to go inside. We waited at the back entrance where we knew he was going to show up. And when he first came in, like, he got ushered out of the taxi so quick, and he looked all dazed. He looked really tired, actually. Like he's 84, 85, right? And then we waited until he came out again. And this time he seemed more relaxed. And then finally, at the end of it, we all clapped. Like, there's a bunch of people, and we all clapped. And he looked straight at us, gave us this big smile, and it was just like, the smile itself is gonna stay with me. Yeah.
Nice.
Thanks. It's awesome. It's just such a heartfelt smile that he gave. But I was happy to see that, just because he looked it when I first saw him, when he first got out, he just seemed like he was sort of, wow, is this really Jodorowsky? Like, he's sort of out of it and tired and he seems so distant. But then when I saw that, it was like, yeah, this is the guy. Like, he's still there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't know. He'd be one of the only, I don't know who else I would do that to, like wait out in front of a theater or behind a theater waiting for somebody to come so I could just catch a glimpse of him. I don't know. I can't think of anybody else I'd do that for. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Yeah, I got really into Fondo and Liz. I actually watched Husk.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
That's really hard to find. Someone put it on YouTube, and it might still be there somewhere. But, I mean, yeah, I can see why he didn't feel it was whatever, you know? But it was cool. It was really cool. Yeah, and his old theater stuff you can find.
Yeah, you posted that. I watched, Yeah, I watched that, the panic stuff.
Yeah, that shit's crazy. Yeah. Wow.
Well, I love how he's like this living link to the old surrealists, you know, like he's original avant-garde, you know, like it, you know, he's like, I don't know anybody else is still alive who's like that, right? Like,
yeah, I read his book on tarot, but I saw that there's like these talks that are really long. There's videos, like documentary style stuff on him with tarot, and I can't find any with English subs. It's all in Spanish, I believe.
Mm.
And so I'm just like, dude, what's he saying? I want to hear what he's saying. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I thought it was weird. He was in Tokyo at the same time as Obama and Justin Bieber. And that was it was the same day as that whole Cardinal Cross thing, you know, like the astrological Cardinal Cross. So,
really?
Yeah, the exact same day where it totally synced up. So I was thinking that Justin Bieber, he went to the war memorial, like by accident, he claims, right? Like this is this shrine in Tokyo, which is like all these right-wing politicians go, and it's really controversial. Like anytime any politician goes there, the Chinese and the Koreans and all of Asia is in an uproar, right?
Really?
Justin Bieber ended up going there, you know, like, and he was like, he had no idea he did. So he's Mars, yeah.
Yeah, I saw
Obama's Jupiter for sure. And then, Obama's Saturn must be. And Jodorowsky would be Uranus. I was thinking Tokyo itself might be Jupiter.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I saw a picture of Justin Bieber spitting on a crowd from up above.
Yeah.
He was up high. Yeah. And I'm just like, dude, why would you do that to your, like, as a statement to your fans like that? I don't get it. And all these kids cutting themselves and all this stuff, and he's asked about it, and he's like, no comment. It's like, no, say, hey, I feel for you guys. You don't need to do that. Something, anything.
Yeah, sure.
You know? I mean, the same place I read about that, I read about how Green Day, back in the day, remember the band Green Day? There was this high school where there was a prom, and there was a gay couple of kids who were told they couldn't go to the prom together. And so Green Day made their own party in the town. They went out to this like town in the middle of nowhere and did their own prom. And all these people didn't go to the school. They went to the fucking Green Day thing. And I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Like, yeah, that was because of a letter that came from a fan who was like, this is what's happening for me. And then they were like, let's go there. It was like, you know.
Green Day was right on the cusp. I think that's when the music industry took it over again, you know, like regained control, and then the pop started to enter again.
Yeah. You know why they're called Green Day?
Isn't it, there's a poem, right? Like is it a Whitman poem or something? I don't know.
Well, what I heard was that it was because their guide, I think this was from an interview from Billy Joel or whatever, that, their guidance counselor told them that it'd be a Green Day in hell before they ever made anything of themselves when they were in high school.
That's Led Zeppelin. That's the same as Led Zeppelin, eh? You'll go over like a lead balloon. Are you smoking pot?
Oh, no, I actually have it's a non-filter cigarette. I mean, I do smoke pot, but I'm not doing that right now.
No, but it's really weird because as soon as you lit that, it must have been in my mind, just how you're smoking, that I smelt it, right? Like, I'm seeing you now. You're on camera, so I actually smelt it. I don't.
Birds fall from the window ledge above mine. Then they flap their wings at the last second.
And I try and get around it, but it's like my psychology is my psychology. You know, yeah. I was telling Mark I could do the Jodorowsky thing where I cut up my dick off, but I don't know if that's really the thing to do. So.
Well, you wouldn't have to cut your dick off. You just have to do it symbolically.
Right. I sacrifice my cock on the altar of silence.
That's this whole thing, right? Like you find a, I've actually tried a psychomagic. It really, really helped me. I tried it with some trauma I had when I was a kid, and I created a ritual like that, and I was able to forgive after that. It really worked.
Really? Was that through his book, Psycho Magic? Is it you read?
No,
it?
it was actually a YouTube video again where he was explaining, like he performed an act of psycho magic and he was explaining his whole system.
Oh wow!
It actually really works, right? Like
sure, yeah.
So he was talking about like in Freudian psychology or analysis, and the end of it is just you realize you want to fuck your mother, right?
Meh.
And it's like, so what do you do with that, you know?
right, exactly.
Yeah, like there's no, you find out that fact, and then how do you deal with it, right? So his thing is you have to fuck your mother, but of course you can't literally fuck your mother, so you have to symbolically fuck your mother. You have to find a way to do that magically, right?
How did you find a way to do that magically?
Well, he would suggest getting some of your mother's clothes or something, at like a picture of your mother or whatever, and then dressing your, he suggested this even to Pinchbeck, like dressing your girlfriend up in your mother's clothes, maybe with a mask of your mother's face on top of it, and actually fuck your mother, you know? Get that over with. Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. So... yeah, the Oedipal thing.
Mm.
I don't know if you ever saw, I did a thing with the end of The Shining, where, I mean, now it's included in the overlaid thing, and I have fucking Lucifer Rising in there with Eyes Wide Shut at the end after Full Metal Jacket ends. But I played The Doors, The End over the last section of The Shining. You know, have you seen that before?
No, I don't get a chance to watch many videos, actually. I get a 2-year-old daughter, so it's hard. when I get on my computer, I'm just doing my own thing.
Right. Well, this for me, it's an interactive thing that I'm doing, and then I'm sharing the after thing with people.
Yeah.
And,
I wish I had more time.
It's a different, you know, I mean, I make time a lot of the time by staying up all fucking night and then being like days the next day and doing other things. But it's the idea of the end is all about the Oedipus. It's about a lot of things, but it focuses on the Oedipus thing. You know, father, I want to kill you. Mother, I want to fuck you. And if you watch the end of The Shining, it seems to be what's being communicated.
Dude, can I pick up my phone just for a sec?
Sure, of course.
Yeah, just a sec. Sorry.
All right. So basically, I'm gonna send it your way on Facebook. It's like an 11-minute thing because all it is the end. So you can watch it just that if you're interested. I related to The Shining after the fact as a Greek tragedy, because of this, and especially like in regards to the Seder chorus. You know about that?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And so everyone's they're familiar with the play enough that they know it inside and out. And so the Seder chorus is playing music between the audience and the performance, and they're literally relating to the subtext or the sub thoughts of the players through the Seder chorus. And so if you know Jim Morrison's whole thing with The Birth of Tragedy and his obsession with it, it's like it becomes insanely applicable. And it's you'd have to see it to really get what I'm saying. But
this is a huge conversation to have, you know. It's like I was saying before with Mark, the combination of those two myths, the Oedipus myth and then the Odysseus myth, and how they come together with Tiresias in the underworld, right? And it's fucking huge. It almost encapsulates all of Western literature, I think. And I think it explains a lot what Mark is saying too, like this sort of split, from Uranus to Saturn to Jupiter and then to the next step, which is maybe Apollo, but in the myths it talks about the heroes basically, right? And so Zeus, if you look behind the basis of the Trojan War, right, it's Zeus basically wanting to wipe out the race of heroes, right? Because he doesn't want a particular hero, which is probably Achilles, to rise up and overthrow him in the same way that he overthrew Saturn, and then Saturn overthrew Uranus, right? And so the whole of history starts with the Trojan War, according to Greek mythology, and that goes into everything, right? Like after that, you have Virgil, who writes the Aeneid, which is Aeneas, one of the Trojans, coming and basically find he's the one who finds Rome, right? And the whole of Roman history starts from that point. But right? It's a massive thing, right? But Tiresias is the one to look at, right? Like, and Tiresias is interesting too, because he was the only character in myth who was a woman and a man at the same time. And if, I don't know if you remember the story of Hera and Zeus having the argument of who has the most pleasure during sex. Mm. And then they consult Tiresias, right? And then Tiresias says, because Tiresias was the only one who had experience of being both. And Tiresias says, it's the woman, I forget how many, like sevenfold times or something like that. And Hera was so pissed off of him letting out the secret that she blinded him. And then to sort of sweeten the deal with Tiresias, Zeus gave him the ability of prophecy, right? So he gets blinding but prophecy at the same time, right?
Oh my God.
And then that enters into the Oedipus.
Totally. Myth, right? And then that ties directly into the meaning. Like, you could say that that's the whole deal with Eyes Wide Shut.
Exactly.
Is that she's fucking revealing to him how lustful she was.
Right.
Just how lustful she could be. And he couldn't get over the fact that she could be that excited. Wow. So this is crazy. So last night I had a dream that... Okay, go ahead.
No, I just got to say, I got to. That was a phone call from... I got to get out of here.
Oh, you have to get out of here. That's fine.
But please tell me, huh?
Oh no, it's something to get into. It's okay.
Oh, that sucks, man.
No, it's no big deal. I'll talk to you again, and it's not that big of a deal. It's just relatable, and I'm dealing with similar issues, and it's ironic because I just went insane spending 2 days putting together this synchronicity with the overlay, the three film overlay, and so.
Yeah, you're gonna watch that.
Cool. Yeah, you know, check it out. All right, man. Well, take it easy. It was great talking to you. Thank you.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thanks. Yeah, and take care. Yeah, I hope things go well for you, man.
No, they're gonna go how they're gonna go.
Okay.
Birds fall from the window ledge above mine. Then they flap their wings at the last second. You see, birds fall from the window ledge above mine. Then they flap their wings at the last second. I can see their dead weight just dropping like stones or small loaves of bread past my window all the time. But unless I get up, walk across the room and peer down, in my mind, that makes their falling and their flight symbolic of my entire existence. It becomes important for me to get up and see their last second curves for flight. It's almost as if my life would fall unless I see their ascent. Mr. Mastodon Farm, Mr. Mastodon Farm, cuts the watches out of all material. Mr. Mastodon Farm, Mr. Mastodon Farm, cuts the watches out of all material. from the window ledge above mine. Then they flap their wings at the last second. But unless I get up, walk across the room.